Good evening, Gumpto Freaks. Good evening, members of the Trebuzek Tribe and official members of the Sector 25 Committee for Beautification. It is August 2021, Friday the 13th. It is Friday, the 13th, August 2021, in the age of Bo Blimpdoc. That's BoBlimpdoc.com. And this is your good friend Dan. Yeah, it's Friday night, can you believe it? And if you're listening on shortwave radio, this is WRMI out of Miami Okeechobee, 5950 kilohertz. That's 559-50 kilohertz. And we are living in a strange, strange time. You know, we are in that sense, in that science fiction story sense, but not necessarily beyond the title. But we are strangers in a strange land. I am told strange things every day. I'm told bizarre things, maybe even impossible things. And then sometimes we're told trivial things, and we should accept them as being true, right? For example, you know, somebody says, well, I went on a trip, Dan. Well, where'd you go? I went to Europe. Well, what'd you do there? I saw the Eiffel Tower. Well, then you must have gone to Europe. Hey, Dan, I went to Antarctica. Well, what was it like? Well, it was cold and it took a long time. And it was really, really expensive. Well, then you must have been to Antarctica. You must have been, right? There is a famous American philosopher of the late 20th, and perhaps he's still alive, early 21st century, by the name of Richard Rorty. And Richard Rorty could be classified as a pragmatist philosopher. And if you want to know more about pragmatism, it goes back to guys like William James and John Dewey. And you could bottle pragmatism if you wanted to, although I have a cousin who would probably send assassins from the Institute for the Study of Pragmatics, and they'd probably kill me. So I won't pretend to bottle it. I will say this. Amongst pragmatists, there is an emphasis on what you could call practical knowledge, or knowledge that is part of praxis comes up in Austrian economics, which is interesting. But the point is, amongst pragmatists, the operation of something, the physical operation of something in the world, whatever it is, whether it's language or a machine, is more interesting than the metaphysical features of it. And it doesn't mean that pragmatists are opposed to metaphysics, no. It just means the metaphysics of a pragmatist is a lot of concern with human reasoning, which is good, and language. And Richard Rorty is famous for coming up with this term, folk psychology. And folk psychology, if I could put it into a bottle and then get murdered by the Prego Nazi socialist of the Eastern realm, They'll send four soldiers with Shuriken. They'll murder you for misinterpreting pragmatism. From the Dewey Institute of Transdimensional Assassins. But folk psychology is basically the following. It is the interpretation of generally held beliefs as a kind of phenomena. We sometimes call these things rules of thumb. We often call it common sense. For example, if you said you went to Europe, and I said, what'd you do, what'd you see? And you said, well, I saw the Eiffel Tower, and not much else. You didn't tell me anything else, you didn't show me any pictures. It's possible you went to Europe, but why do I make that assumption? Because my assumption is you'd tell me the truth about a trip? Do I believe that the fact that you say you visited Eiffel Tower is significant enough to actually indicate that you were actually there? When you actually break down the assumptions people make, and that's part of folk psychology, is looking at common sense and assumptions. Certain things happen, so we assume other things are true. And this is often related to something called the correlation fallacy, where people interpret the correlation or coincidence of two events as causality, as a relationship. And that's going to come up in our podcast broadcast. That will come up because it's related. It's on a theme. It's an article on the topic. Folk psychology, the common sense things, the assumptions we make based upon common sense. This is always true. This is always how it happens. And I would even go further. These things are often connected to our temperament, like the optimist versus the pessimist. And I know this is a big intro, and it might not connect to anything else in the rest of this podcast broadcast. And if you're listening on shortwave radio, 5950 kilohertz, the notes for this podcast broadcast can be found by going to dfgtc.org/shownotes. That's Delta Foxtrot Golf Tango Charlie.org/shownotes. And if you go to that page and you pick the right date, there is a very good likelihood you'll get the right notes. And if you simply go to the blog and search, if I didn't actually post them correctly, you could probably find the notes using search terms that come up in the broadcast. But listen, I don't want to stress you out. Just go to dfgtc.org/shownotes. Don't get stressed out. Get more info. Learn more about what we're doing. Understand our connection to the universal gumpus, and also, you know, the coming age of dogs. Because, you know what, everyone talks about, like, apes taking over the world, and, like, cockroaches and raccoons taking over the world, but what if the dogs take over? That's a podcast for another day. We do a lot of things based on common sense. We do a lot of things based upon assumptions. We assume certain things are true, and we run with it. And I think I want to continue with the podcast into the first news article. You know, I was going off on a tangent. I'm going to stop it. First topic, wildfires linked to COVID-19 cases. Now keep in mind, that's the headline. They don't say wildfires cause COVID-19 cases, because I gotta say, lawyers are still believing there's a rule of law and they don't want to get sued. It also says cases. It doesn't say deaths. You know, that probably is an issue, but it says cases. Anyways, if you go to the show notes, I have a link to a Guardian article that goes into this link between wildfires and COVID-19. If you listen to my podcast, you know very well what I believe. I believe it is I believe it's a psyop. And let me talk about that for a second. Because, for example, if you've been keeping up with the news, everything out of Australia looks terrible. Everything out of Australia looks monstrous. It looks like George Orwell. It looks like people are being hunted. It looks like the Gumpto freaks rule the planet. Everything out of Australia that Americans are seeing looks terrible. And then I ask a couple friends of mine who know people in Australia, and the reality is that's not actually happening. Everything coming out of Florida looks terrible. So I emailed a friend and he said, yeah, there's, you know, all this cases stuff. But I didn't get the indication that the world was coming to the end. And yet the news will tell you, and it's because of Governor DeSantis, and believe me, folks, I'm not a Republican, so I don't care who's in charge. I do prefer sanity over madness, okay? If DeSantis is authentically trying to be a rational person, and that's why he's not giving in to the COVID-19 military psychological warfare operation, then God bless him if it's real. I really don't know. I think it fits perfectly with mind control, with the trauma of it, with what's called the differences between myself and the person who's controlling me. And when you show those differences, it doesn't actually reduce stress. It actually makes people angry, but they're still not doing anything with their anger. So it increases the adrenal fatigue. Because they can't do anything with that anger. There's nothing productive. They're told they can't leave their home. The problem is I checked with my friends and they told me they had friends. These are people I trust. I don't think they gaslight me. And they basically told me that, yeah, Australia's got some ridiculous stuff going on in certain cities maybe. But overall, it's not this completely locked down dystopia yet, maybe. If you read articles, it looks like Pacific salmon are in really, really bad shape. In fact, I've spoken about it because guess what, guys? I've also spoken about I got one more trauma monkey myself, and in about 6 weeks, I get to crumple it up and throw it away. But yeah, I legitimately care about the ecosystem, and I pay attention to stuff that has to do with Pacific salmon. Because one could argue that the state of the salmon tells you a lot about the state of the ocean. So there have been a lot of articles where it looks bad. You know, it's the heat wave, it's this, it's that. It's a whole bunch of things, brothers and sisters. But it all looks really bad. And it's looked bad for several years now. So I asked a friend of mine who lives in Seattle, who has a friend he works with, who goes fishing, what the situation was in the Puget Sound. And from what his friends said, it was great. It was amazing. They caught a whole bunch of fish in an hour. And it's like, wow, that's amazing. But here's the thing, folks. And this is where it gets troubling. And my friend who's listening will definitely understand because he is an exceptionally logical person. Logical, rational, mathematical, and scientific in the ways that count and matter. And so my friend will understand. Just because you told me you saw the Eiffel Tower does not mean I have sufficient evidence that you went to Europe. Just because you told me you spent a lot of money and it took a long time and you went someplace really cold, I don't know for certain you went to Antarctica. And what's even more important, I have no clue what Antarctica is. I know what the textbooks say it is, but I don't really trust those books any longer, not like I did when I was a kid. I kind of think a lot of that could be just garbage. We don't know. If you want to get right down to it, the most rational way you can approach the world is to just not make too many assumptions about things you can't verify. The problem is we have been so atomized, so separated, so completely put into the functional model in this worldwide web globalist neo-Stalinist hellhole that we don't really have a functional way to do anything other than what we're doing. This is the sad truth. It's easier for a doctor to take a pamphlet from a pharmaceutical sales rep and follow what that sales rep says. Plus, guess what? Next summer, we're all going to wherever, Cabo, or next winter. The point is, it's easier for that doctor, that primary care physician, to take that pamphlet and listen to the speech and get the card and put in the order than it is for that doctor to actually think about diagnostics and understand the body. Listen, with the drug, you got to list, oh, the person feels sad and their stomach hurts. Well, we're going to put you on Dremuzol 89. And 5 years later, Dremuzol causes your toes to drop off. Do not use Dremuzol if you're pregnant. You'll have a demon baby. Dremuzol will allow you to contact animals that died years ago and send their ghosts at your enemies. To send the ghosts of animals that died years ago, Dremuzol. COVID-19 linked to wildfires. Okay, that's entirely plausible that, you know, people who currently have respiratory issues have more issues in the smoke, and that when they go to the hospital and they're put into that janky system, the system that's going to tell them they have COVID, probably in some semi-random way, but in no scientific way, sure. But you have to understand, I don't believe these COVID diagnostic processes work. I don't think they're legitimate. I don't think the science around what's going on is even remotely legitimate. What I do know from personal experience is that when the air fills with smoke, it gets hard to breathe. I was living in Seattle in the summer of 2018. And the skies were orange and blood orange and misty and ugly and gumbus. You could smell and taste metal in the air. You could smell and taste metal in the air. That was the summer of 2018. It was hard to breathe. Listen, I grew up in the state of Washington. Did we have wildfires growing up? Sure. Sure we did. But I don't ever recall it being hard to breathe. And frankly, it wasn't just because it was me and I was fat and I was old. Lots of people reported it was hard to breathe. The air was contaminated. We didn't need COVID-19 to know that breathing in that air was probably bad for us. We didn't need a scientist from the University of Washington to tell us that, for the same reason a dog will eat something, get sick, and maybe not ever eat it again. And it doesn't mean it's a rational decision, but it's smarter than doing the same stupid thing twice. And it's something that might kill you. So I didn't need a scientist in the summer of 2018 to tell me that the air quality in Seattle was horrible for about 8 weeks. It was terrible. It was hot, the air quality was terrible, and all the explanations were, well, it's just a really bad fire season. We've had several of those in a row, brothers and sisters, and yet the most likely culprit now for almost everything. Because listen, we read the story, and you can read the whole thing. I'm not going to read it to you. You can read the story. I read it. You can look at it. It's putting forward this link garbage. And yeah, they'll say, oh, the, you know, people in a COVID state are dodgy and, you know, it makes it worse or something. Listen, smoke is simply bad for you. You don't need any COVID-19 for really bad air quality to kill people. That happens in China, in some cities, all the time. People drop dead from air quality. Well, maybe not right now, because I think a lot of things are shutting down. At least that's what they tell us. What they want you to do in your head with the article is to actually read it in a weird way. They want you to read it like COVID-19 is causing wildfires or something. They want you to read it like COVID-19 just keeps making the world worse and worse and worse. That's what they want you to believe. So they can link anything to it. If there's a war going on someplace, it's COVID-19. Listen, I'm a scientist. I did a study. It turns out that people in the Civil War who are killing each other also test positive. So it must cause war. This is the correlation fallacy, right? A person was eaten alive by a wild and rabid great white shark. The shark tested positive for COVID-19. There are orca whales attacking small craft off the coast of Spain and Portugal right now. A lot of scientists are trying to figure out why. I've read that article in the past, so you probably don't need me to reread that article. But again, probably there are scientists who will say it's COVID-19 because we tested them and they tested positive. It seems like everything can test positive, including your toaster. So if your toaster breaks, it's probably COVID-19. If an airplane crashes and an engine explodes, they're going to test the fan blade for COVID-19. And then a scientist will come up with a scientifical explanation. Dan, don't you understand? Dan, don't you get it? Don't you get it, Dan? COVID-19 is a nanoscale supermolecule. It's designed to do more than just give you cancer and butt cancer and trans buttocks cancer. It also reorganizes matter and structures. It can travel in the form of electrons, which means it can infect computers. It's the first quantum. It's the first quantum. Polymetal. Molecular scale. It's the first quantum. Polymetallic. Semi-intelligent. Microscopic. Drunk Irishman. COVID-19. Can infect your golf swing. COVID-19 can get inside your Tesla and it'll catch fire. Believe me, if Elon Musk ever listened to this, oh my gosh, that's a great idea. That car caught fire because of COVID-19. The driver control system, it failed because it had COVID-19. That morphine quantum transdimensional, transgropic, that damnable thing. It's so poignant. Yeah, anywho, I can imagine people blaming everything on COVID-19 because that is the state of crazy. And in some ways, if you want to be optimistic about this, and this gets us into the next topic. If you want to be optimistic, here's how you can handle stories like wildfires linked to COVID-19, or all the salmon are dying, or everybody in Australia is doomed. One way to handle all this is just reject it. Reject it completely. Reject the COVID-19. Reject it in your mind. They are screwing with you. Is it possible they're poisoning people, specifically poisoning old people? Not only is it possible, I think in some states it happened, but no one's going to jail for that, brothers and sisters. I don't know why they're acting so smug, But these are people that in a different day and age, if you believe in the rule of law, would be taken in shackles to the Hague Court for international law and put on trial for crimes against humanity. Governor Cuomo wouldn't resign because he had a booty call. He would resign because he murdered a bunch of people. And then he would be taken to the Hague Court. That's if you believe there's a rule of law. But what if there's not? And what if maybe even there never really was? It probably was a fiction all the time. But if you believe there's going to be some relief or some outcome in terms of consequences, they're acting like there are none, and I'm thinking they're on to something, I don't know what. But again, what would Richard Rorty say? Or what would John Dewey say? Or what would another good one I'm trying to remember, Bertrand Russell, what would he say? What would C.S. Lewis say? I know what he would say, go down the trail, meet the skunk monster. He's hanging out with Charles Manson. Thank you, C.S. Yeah, I don't know what he would say. But here's what some of these experts in reasoning and logic might say. Dan, you need to evaluate why it is you think something bad is about to happen. So let me go over my logic once again. I believe we are currently being exposed to multiple military psychological warfare operations. And the more I collect data, anecdotal and otherwise, like for example, my friends telling me what they told me, the more I'm thinking that it could even be mostly focused on just the United States. This is really critical, brothers and sisters. It means that our government isn't really gaslighting the world as much as they're gaslighting us. Now, the response I get from some people is, well, that means the reset is coming. But my friends, in order to do what I just described, you already have to have all that power. You already have to have all the judges. Listen to what judges are saying about the eviction ban. They're saying it's illegal, and they're saying there's not a thing they can do about it. That's actually in the news. Look it up. They're saying it's illegal. There's nothing they can do about it. The judge in Washington, D.C., that reviewed a case involving the eviction ban said it was illegal, but there was nothing they could do about it. Folks, they don't need a reset. We have been there for a while. You don't get to do what they've done unless you have total control. And yeah, globalism turned out to be really just a less nasty version of Stalinism. But it still had its own gulags. It still had its punishment factories. It still had its god-awful externalities that no citizen of Moscow or Rome would ever have to see, or Washington, D.C. The best thing about that, you want to keep all the horror far, far away. Far away. You don't want the citizens to see the horror. So one of my reasons for believing this is we're being manipulated, and it doesn't look like it has a purpose other than to have people stay home, which is weird. Why would you mind screw 300 million people off and on? It's not the same everywhere. Listen, where I'm at right now in Utah, people are still mostly behaving sanely. I mean, there's some dogs barking right now, which I think is kind of cool. But the point is, there's still sanity out there, I think in a lot of rural areas mostly, and probably some cities in some areas there's sanity. I think I heard that the mayor of Boston kind of, you know, rejected the whole vaccine passport thing for really and truly legitimate grounds. I don't know if this story is true, but I heard that. I think it was the mayor of Boston. But God bless if that's true, right? That is the next topic. I want you to imagine something that is an optimistic scenario, and it goes back to an essay I wrote on my old blog that doesn't exist, and it was called, The Odds of Survival. And I think I published it originally in 2015, but if you're looking for the link, just go to dfgtc.org. And if you click through and you go to Docs or Words, the link is Words, and you do a Control F, just Control F for odds of survival. And there's an underscore where there's a space. But just put it in survival, you'll probably find it. It's in PDF format, so if you can't do PDF, I'm so sorry. Imagine having to have to do slide rules and logbooks, so PDF is not a great thing to ask for, really. Yeah. In Odds of Survival, I talked about scenarios. I talked about ones that were likely, and then I talked about ones that were the best, most likely scenario, which means if you're asking me, what would be the best case scenario for the United States at this point? The best case scenario would be the soft collapse of the empire. Listen, since the beginning of this country, if you believe in the Constitution, there's been a debate about empire and about expansion. And yes, the expansionists always won. Teddy Roosevelt is a great example of an expansionist, and he definitely said we need to have more, more, more. It's why we had control of the Philippines as long as we did. It's why Puerto Rico is still under our control, so to speak. Those were fruits of the war with, you know, Spain. That was a silly war. They're all, well, silly and bad, but they're all that. So the best case scenario I came up with in 2015, and that would be 6 years ago now, is the best case scenario I can tell you today, and that is the soft collapse of the empire. Listen, if you want to research this, look at the debates following the Spanish-American War. Look at those debates. Look at the debates in the Senate and the House. You will find a lot of very wise people saying, this is a dangerous path. We are not supposed to be an empire. We were supposed to be a free republic. Keep in mind, brothers and sisters, I am an anarchist, but I would much rather live in a free republic than live in the hellhole I'm living in right now. I'm not saying I believe in government, but you know what? If you can't have zero government, then it's always really great to have as little as possible and as much sanity as possible, right? There were very wise people after the Spanish-American War, especially given the Philippine insurrection. And you should research that, especially if you're into guns, because a lot of the whole story of the Colt 1911 comes out of the Spanish-American War. But I'll leave it up to you to research, because I'm not giving away the punchline, you know. Yeah. So anywho, all I know is we're being exposed to these weird psyops that apparently they don't control the schedule. They're recycling garbage. But what if the reason for that is this? What if the real reason isn't some terrible calamity? What if whatever calamity I have in my head is just another psyop? And what if this really is the snow job directed at Americans to hide the fact that the dollar's crashing? Like, for example, if the dollar were crashing worldwide, and you know you live in a neo-Stalinist hellhole, why wouldn't they just lie to you and say, oh, the ever-given lost control, just like my ex-wife, just kidding. Why wouldn't you manufacture hacking incidents? Why wouldn't you even potentially create adverse weather events for the purpose of keeping things kind of in a not so stable situation, and then pump the populace with psychological warfare, with race wars that don't exist, with viruses that are really just cover for a murder op and probably just another major psyop to keep people immobilized. And the only question is, why keep people immobilized? Well, there is a disaster interpretation. I can't be Pollyanna. I'm not Pollyanna. If you listen to my podcast, you know that. There is a disaster interpretation. You could say the reason why they're doing this is because they want to keep the roads clear. They want to keep people kind of under control. Something is coming. It's a fuzzy schedule. Listen, collapse of empire is a fuzzy schedule. But there are natural events like a caldera volcano exploding, for example. That's kind of fuzzy. The mathematics around predicting earthquakes and whatnot, it's not as good as you might think. So the bottom line is, there could be this fuzzy schedule for some horrible event. And the reason why they want to keep Americans so gaslit is because they're afraid Americans are the most likely just to go whatever, ape, shit, maybe. But it does seem like they do that to the whole world. And what some of my friends are telling me is they're really not. Or maybe it's not as bad as we're being told. I really don't know. What I do know is we've been put in a hall of mirrors. And we've been fed a reality that is so distorted that you feel like you have motion sickness day to day. Switching from one version of reality to the next, back and forth. You know, the story of the Chinese communist murder virus is where this story started. That's full circle. And I guarantee you, if they have to keep this going a few more months, they might even get into the whole, the unlockdown, the re-lockdown. You know, when they unlock a place like Florida or Texas, sort of, or the fact that a lot of rural areas are not locked down, it kind of makes the stress effects of it worse for the people that are obeying, because they believe it. They believe that there are monsters in the countryside who don't wear a mask, and it's because of them that they have to wear a mask. It's insane. It's illogical. It makes zero sense. And I would hope if Richard Rorty were alive, he would kind of break that apart, because there's a lot of crazy in the reasoning going on around COVID-19 right now. A lot of crazy and very little reality. Not when you look into it. You want to tell me you went to Europe, great, you saw the Eiffel Tower. Well, here's a theory. There's a theory that there's a catastrophe. We talked about it. I don't know what it would be. There are lots of contenders. But what if the reality is the empire's collapsing? And the dollar, and this is the important part, the dollar is being rejected. Because if you really, really think about it, it even explains all this crazy coming out of China. Like the whole, the Chinese government is going into a crackdown mode and all the ports are shut down. What I'm going to ask you to do is pretend for a second that that story is bullshit too. What if the real truth is, it's mainly the United States being gaslit right now, mainly just us, lots of other places. It's not the world being destroyed. It's like the stories about the Arctic Circle. I want to go there because I want to verify them. I'm tired of hearing people tell me that the world is coming to an end. I want to see it with my own eyes because I frankly never trusted these people very much. It took a lot of you guys to catch up with me. I've been around academics. This implicit trust for academics is also a kind of folk psychology assumption. Well, that guy's got a doctorate in Bo Blimdoc. He's Dr. Freckles. He's the number one expert in Bo Blimdoc. And so therefore, if you need sexual counseling, you can always call Dr. Freckles. But that's the thing. There's an implicit assumption in our culture that if you have a PhD in something, A, you deserve implicit respect. And I gotta say, having been around universities a little bit in the last few decades, I don't see that. I don't see why that's justified. But there's this implicit respect. And then on top of it, that these people must be right because they have a PhD. Now, again, it is what it is, because if you're not the right kind of PhD person, they'll say, oh, but they're not real. You know, that's the other thing that happens too. You basically become not real. You're not really black. You're not really a scientist. You're not really a philosopher. You're not really a minister. You're not really a Christian. You're not really a Buddhist. You're not really real. And that happens to a lot of homeless people every day. That happens to people that, you know, when the Bureau of Labor and Statistics says unemployment went down. What that really means is that people have been unemployed so long, they simply get subtracted. They become not real people. That's what that means. And mind you, I'm no commie. So if you ask me if there's a solution to that problem, well, there's only one solution to all our problems. And that's the good news story. So in a way, I'm trying to veer you away from catastrophe theory in terms of the catastrophe is a natural catastrophe. I'm going to give you an alternative theory that I'm beginning to believe is true. That all of this psyop, all of this mind screw, all of it that's being done to everybody and to your children, to young people who want to start lives and want to have faith in a future, that all of it, and it could include the geoengineering that might not even be what Dane Wigington says it is. It could be completely for the purpose, the same purpose, to screw with Americans enough that they'll be immobilized when the United States government collapses. That they'll be unable to fight back or do anything. That if someone calls you on the phone and says, report to facility X-ray Alpha next to Taco Bell, that you'll do it. You'll do it mindlessly. And they'll say, yeah, pack for the trip. Bring your gold. You're going to go to a cool place. You're going to go to Galt's Galls, yeah. And then you get there, and it's right behind the Taco Bell. And tomorrow is government-free taco day. Yeah, so there are people probably so brainwashed at this point that if they got a call on their phone or a text message, an emergency alert, report to the location next to the Taco Bell, yeah, it looks like some type of abattoir, but whatever. Why don't you grow up and stop believing in conspiracy theories? And isn't that a conversation that one cow might have with another? Like, you know, Boris, we were cows together up on the range and eating the grasses. You ever think that maybe this has been some type of a mind screw? One cow to another. There are people so brainwashed right now that I do think they would show up to be killed. I don't want to believe that, but the sad truth is when you're wearing two masks and the heat outside is 110 degrees, you're putting yourself at risk. And if you're running and you're doing it, you're putting yourself at a lot of risk. And there is no reward. You're not protecting yourself. There's no science showing that. There's no logic showing that. There's just propaganda showing that. People are killing themselves to believe in something horrible. So either there's something more horrible they don't want you to think about, or what might be just more likely, the government of the United States is in collapse. The dollar's being rejected. And so they're feeding us propaganda. They're telling us it is like Baghdad Bob. You know, there is an M1 tank going behind Baghdad Bob, but he wants to tell you that Saddam is very close to victory. That could actually be what's going on right now. The real truth. The real truth might be they're just simply afraid that if Americans knew the truth, that the dollar was being rejected, that they might actually say, you know what? We remember a place that was generally described as, even if it was false, even if it failed African Americans, and it did, and even if it failed women, and it really often did, and even if it failed other people, Native Americans, who were murdered, and it did, it failed a lot of people. But if you think about it, there was a place that people would say, this was the land of the free and the home of the brave. They told it to me as a mythology, as a story, when I was a kid. Like, there was a place, you know? Like Santa's factory. They're afraid of one thing, that you might actually think to yourself, the easiest way back there, the shortest road back, is just to say no. Just say stop. Just ignore it. I'm not going to tell you to go into crypto because, frankly, I'm skeptical. But what prevents us from bartering and using gold and silver? What prevents us from coming up with trust schemes that we can use? And if it's going to be crypto, what prevents us from using crypto if it can work? But we need to say no. And it's not easy. I don't think it's easy for anyone. I don't think it's easy for me because I still live in the same bubble that most people do. I'm just further away. I have, you know, friends and family that are very close to some of the worst parts of this, places like Seattle. And they're being exposed to crap probably 24/7. But then I get good news. A friend of mine told me that he went to a Costco around there and not everybody was wearing a mask, but what is just as critical, it didn't seem like there was a mask Nazi. Like I remember last Christmas being in a Costco in Federal Way and there was a mask Nazi going around. Oh, you're not wearing it right. It wasn't just that you weren't wearing it. You weren't wearing it right. You didn't cover your nose. None of it makes any sense. None of it is logical or rational. It is all based on fear. And the simplest solution to this problem is just to say no. And if the Costco says, well, we don't want your business, well, then maybe what we need to do is go someplace else. Maybe it does mean we're all going to start going to the farmer's market. You know what? Maybe we should have been doing that for a while. And maybe it does mean other businesses will get a chance to grow because they'll have courage. And maybe they'll have courage because they'll have customers who only want to have a choice. I'm sorry I'm getting sad. You know, there's a part of Atlas Shrugged where they finish a section of railway. And Dagny Taggart and Reardon are on the train to travel across a bridge that was being newly designed. It had been built using Reardon steel. And again, this is Atlas Shrugged by Ayn Rand. And as that train is going that direction, going down that track, as that brilliant form of people creating things, not to destroy, but to maybe just simply make the world a better place through active creative freedom. The railroad workers, who I think the government said, don't go there, don't check it out, don't look, they're coming up over the horizon to look, to support, to cheer it on, because they're not stupid. They don't see it as a lose-lose situation. They see it as the possibility that actually everybody could win in a way if we had freedom. They saw that train as hope, actual hope, not make-believe Obama hope or government hope or whatever kind of hope they're selling at the hope store, but the actual recognition that people, smart people, creative people, allowed to be free, did something amazing, and if they work hard, they can participate in it, and it's not a us versus them, but it might be a we going into the future, right? As just a free people on a planet of Oh, amazing. It would be great. Just a free republic of human beings who don't have to spend all day pestering each other and would never conceive of giving in to fear schemes. Fear schemes that basically, I had to check the time there. Fear schemes that ultimately led to mask Nazis, you know? And guys, here's the thing, and this is maybe your best common sense check, and maybe the common sense rule that makes sense, and maybe Richard Rorty would agree, but actual plagues and pandemics, you don't have to convince people to get a cure. You don't have to convince people to go on respirators. You don't have to convince people to do anything because the evidence is in front of them. Another thing to always remember is hospitals prior to COVID-19 had an endemic problem of hospital-acquired infections. So if you wanted to create, and they may have done that on purpose in some cases, if you wanted to have a little terrible ICU situation, you could have that just from preventable hospital-acquired infections. Yeah, that's how you get your horrible COVID-19 ward. Imagine if people have the courage to start a grocery where they're not going to treat you like, you know, garbage. And imagine if workers said, you know what? I'd rather not be treated like garbage either. And then imagine a bunch of customers making the choice to not go to Costco, to not go to Walmart, but to actually maybe do something amazing. For the first time in their life, maybe do something different. And maybe the most important thing they do is to say no. And that might be the hardest lesson for all of us, brothers and sisters, for Uncle Dan as well. Because for all my preaching and all my sermonizing and all my terrible keyboard play, I am just as sucked into this as you because I'm feeling it. I can tell you it's garbage, but when I see it in my fellow man, it's hard for me to ignore. Now, the good news is where I'm at right now in Utah, near Boblimpdoc, not far from the Pitts and Youngus, where they dumped all those people in 18-aught Blimpton. Yeah, I live in a good place. There's not a lot of crazy here, but in part it's because there's not a lot of people. And, you know, and probably also another reason there's not a lot of crazy here is because there's a lot of oil. Here's the thing. I doubt there are major severe COVID-19 outbreaks at boiling water nuclear reactors right now on the East Coast. It is a supposition, but I doubt it's happening. And frankly, the demographic of the people that have been there a long time and have experience, these are definitely people you don't want to lose during a heat wave and potentially several blackouts. So the point is, folks, if you reason on this yourself, you can probably figure out COVID-19 is crap. And if you reason on the Antifa BLM stuff, and I took up close video, it's staged crap. It's a lot of propaganda. It's a lot of lying. It's a lot of BS. And if you're on social media and you're a conservative and the conservative says the commies are taking over Portland, listen, I have no doubt that the theatrics are leading to some fires here and there and maybe even a lot of damage. But don't pretend it's random. It's not. What I saw in Seattle was not random. The fact that Ferrari of Seattle, that was a stone's throw, literally and figuratively, from Chazchopia, suffered basically very little damage. I mean, they lost some windows. That's sad. But I remember walking by there on Saturdays, and they're selling Ferraris, a stone's throw from the communists that want to topple the capitalists. Do you understand how absurdly stupid that is? So it is BS. And so what it takes is people to be courageous and to say no. And I don't have a way to tell you that that's easy because sometimes learning to say no is as hard as learning to say yes. For example, my friend Justin, and he is my friend, and I'm lucky I have several friends now. I didn't a few years ago. But my friend Justin, he pestered me about shortwave radio. He probably pestered me maybe because he got a sense from listening to my podcast that I was pretty depressed and I'd almost given up. And he probably figured if he pestered me enough that I would probably give in, and I did. And then he offered to go up to Seattle to pick me up, to take me away from that snake pit called Seattle, being ruled by the overlord witchstress Mayor Jenny Durkin of the Dorcas realm. And so he got me out of Seattle and to Utah. But getting me there meant I had to learn how to say yes. And I've had some years where I've been, well, I've allowed myself to be taken advantage of. And I've had some relationships where I've allowed myself to think, well, maybe it's all my fault. Listen, folks, the whole thing about whose fault, what's fault, all that, that's stuff we kind of have to get beyond too. I'm not saying everybody's equal and we should love everyone. No, I'm actually kind of saying the opposite. We're not all going to be friends, but that doesn't mean we have to be enemies. We're not all going to agree, but it doesn't mean we have to get into knife fights because we disagree. We're not all going to want to clean up the river. But I'll tell you what, folks, and you need to listen to what I'm saying. I'd rather have 10 good people who want to be there on that Saturday to clean up the river than to force 100 people to just be there. Give me 10 that want to be there. And frankly, that's why liberty works. It's optimal because it's based upon a kind of common sense or folk psychology that, again, I think is probably true. That motivation matters. It is not irrelevant whether a person is a slave. So I'd rather have 10 people cleaning up the river that day, and I will get more done, and I will be happier, and the other 90 will be happier. And no matter what you think will happen, the most likely result is over time, people will simply make caring about the river part of their life, and it doesn't even become more than anything like that. And no one's forced to care about it, and no one is forced to do that. It's just liberty, it's just choice. That's how you clean up the world. That's how you do that. You don't do it by putting a gun to people's heads. You don't do it by gaslighting them. You don't do it by telling them that the whole world is going to explode in 2 years. You do it by allowing them to be free. And once they start making choices, you're going to find out something surprising. Most people, in my opinion, will make pretty good choices because they'll be making them based upon a rational world. They won't be in that tug of war every day. They won't be being gaslit every day. They won't have a masked Nazi chasing them in all likelihood. They're going to be free and they'll make great choices, or at least pretty good choices, and the net result will be the best result. And that includes for the ecosystem. But I cannot tell you how we get there. We're almost at the end of the hour and I got all crybaby. And I didn't even hit all the topics, so that means I'm a scumto freak. If you've been listening, this is WRMI 5950 kilohertz, Miami Okeechobee. From that swamptus, from that place it arises. And in the time of Grumbius, and when the ape king comes out of the swamp, and when the monsters arise from the deep, and when the tentacles grab you by the heart and pull you down, you can remember there is a place that exists someplace. It's a land. It's a land. It's a land of the free. It's a land of the free. It's a land of the free. And a home of the brave, baby.